Lee Honish, Trent Chapman, the ShortSaleGenius.com, bringing you your weekly real estate kind of update on the subject of short sales. How are you doing this week, Trent?
I'm doing, I don't know.
Really?
I'm kind of bored.
Why are you bored? What's wrong? What are you not getting new listings, not getting new leads?
Today was a great week for listings. I had 3 million in listings this week, so nothing to complain about.
That's fantastic. Are you doing any equity spreads on those as well?
Nope.
They're all straight up.
No, just straight up listings, getting 3% commission on average, sometimes a little bit more. But that's my focus, my business. Some people focus on investments and equity spreads, but mine is just strictly real estate.
For those of you who don't know us or you're just happening onto this for the first time, my name's Lee Honish. I'm the former head loss mitigator for IndyMac Bank's HELOC division. That's Trent Chapman, the creator of the Short Sale Genius System, who took my information and converted it into what it is today.
Agent speak. I took basically what Lee says and put it into words that you can understand and use because he talks over our head. So that's what I'm here for, is to explain what Lee's really trying to say when he speaks bank.
Well, this week I want to talk about lies, 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 and more lies. My favorite topic.
Oh, yeah. Big lies.
HUDs. We're going to cover lion and HUDs this week.
Okay.
The general perception of a real estate agent is to submit one deal to the first, wait for a response, then restructure HUDs, and then submit them to seconds.
With whatever the first says.
And again, we're back to countering of terms on those HUDs specifically, lowering escrow or closing costs or attorney's fees, whatever the case, dictated by the bank person, somebody like me, who's told them based on some outrageous series of guidelines or
investor
approval that this is how I must have my HUD or I'm not going to approve your deal.
Therefore, non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable, or I'm going to just foreclose. And what I see out of agents is they're still fundamentally making the basic errors. As I've taught at Trent, you're more of a day-to-day guy than me. I'm more of just the trainer these days. But as I've trained it a million times, the key word in estimated HUD is still estimated, right?
Yep, it's not the final HUD.
Okay. So all we really need to line up here are the final HUDs to the final approval.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it's all negotiation, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the most effective way to structure a HUD?
Well, to start with, like you were mentioning before, we don't just wait until the first lender tells us how much the second's going to get. We need to know before we even start a deal how much we should plan on getting the second lien. So, for example, Lee, if I've got a $100,000 second lien HELOC and I've got my first lien is $300,000 or $400,000, my offer, let's say, is $300,000. So I've got $300,000 on the table. Let's say it's after cost and everything. How much of that $300,000 is going to go to that $100,000 second lien?
In truth, a six-figured, more than likely HELOC, I would say probably 10% would be reasonable.
Okay. Now, so if we got to figure in $10,000 of that $100,000 HELOC to be a payoff for the second, what do we do then when we submit a file to the first lender?
Ask for half a? I said that with cynicism.
Okay.
So that everybody gets the joke.
You know, so we're not going to ask for half a. You know, the HAFA guidelines would be good for a smaller lien, but not typically for a $100,000 lien. So in this case, we're going to tell the first lien, we've already spoken to the second, the HELOC, and they said they will not accept a payoff less than 20%.
That's correct.
Why would we say 20% if we know they want at least 10?
I always explain it this way. If I went to a job interview and they asked me how much I wanted to make, and I wanted to say make $100,000 a year, I would tell them I'd want to make $150,000 to $200,000 a year. Now, most people would say, well, you're pricing yourself out of range. They've already got their number in mind of what they're probably going to take or what they're going to offer. But if I short sell myself...
If you tell them I want 80?
80, then they're going to take the 80 instead of the 100.
Well, so they're really going to look at your qualifications. So if you're qualified or more qualified than the next guy and you're asking for more, they're still going to give you the offer at the lower price.
Of course they are.
But if you give them the lowest price possible by saying 80, yeah, you shortchange yourself.
Negotiation is negotiation at the end of the day. He who cares less usually wins. So take the power off of me. I'm going to tell you I want twice as much to get half of what I'm after.
Well, also, you're taking the power off by saying, I've already spoken to the HELOC.
Absolutely.
And they're saying they want 20%, otherwise they will not do the short sale.
Which isn't that completely unreasonable for a HELOC to begin with.
It's pretty common.
So
what this does is we prepare a HUD for the first lender asking for more than we may need. And sometimes you might even go so far as asking for 30% of the unpaid balance for that second lien. Now, what about the second lender? What do we send them?
$1,000.
Why? We know they only want $10,000, $20,000 on a $100,000 HELOC. Why would we give them $1,000?
We need like a sound effects for the way back machine. Okay, back in the day when I was working in the bank, you know that.
Won't the second just take zero and walk?
Yeah, right. Back when I was working in the bank, I was amazed at the number of people who would actually show up to me at IndyMac and go, well, the first one's to offer you nothing, so you'll just take it, right? How is a real estate professional you could actually say the words, you will release your lien for no money, is astounding to me.
Why go through the effort?
Why go through the effort? Why'd you get your license? So here's the thing. Originally, they offered none. They bumped it up to 1,000. Then it made its way to about 1,500. These days, it's about, if you want to be politically correct, anywhere between 3 and 6,000 on a six-figured HELOC in second position is about the standard these days, somewhere in that range.
That's what the first will offer.
That's what the first will offer and yes. hope that they get. Now, here's the amazing part.
I've heard that it's a Fannie or Freddie guideline that they can only offer 3,000 to a second lien.
Right. Okay. I'm going to try this. Everybody follow me. Trent will probably correct me on this. If Wells, Chase, B of A, Freddie, Fannie, whomever, in first or second position, know that they only offer second position $3,000, and all of these entities deal with second position liens, and they know they want more than $3,000, how can this still keep happening?
It's a game. It's a negotiation.
What do you mean
game?
It's a game? This is like rampant stupidity to me.
It is rampant stupidity, but this still it's a game. They're playing it with the agents.
Okay, then that would mean that the banks are lying. Blatantly.
Correct. They're deceiving you.
Because
yes.
you've talked to mitigators, I've talked to mitigators where they go, we're only offering 3,000 to the second, that's your guidelines. Okay. Do you negotiate seconds? Yes, I do. Would you take 3,000 in this situation? No, I wouldn't. I mean to actually take that perspective of I'm talking to a mitigator who's telling me based on the Freddie, Fannie, investor, whatever guidelines, the aliens have taken over the building guidelines, as I like to call them these days. How insane from the perspective of trying to be a good agent, talking to someone who's literally just told you to your face.
We're only offering 3,000.
We're only offering 3,000. But I would never take 3,000 if I had a HELOC that was six figures.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. And that's why you got to remember that guidelines are like rules. They're made to be broken.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Only if you get caught, right?
No, I'm not. I don't believe that you should break the rules. But guidelines are, as it says, guides. They're not actually hard and fast rules, okay? Guidelines are just to keep the employees within a small box so they don't give away the farm. But if you look at what the banks actually do, I've had plenty of banks tell me, well, Fannie's guidelines only $3,000 to the second. That's all you can do? Yes, that's all we can do. Are you sure you can verify that? No, I will not verify that. That's what they told me before. I cannot get more than $3,000. So what do we have to do?
Kill the deal.
No, we go to Fannie. And
kill
we
the
have
deal.
Fannie come back and say, okay, well, we'll make sure they approve it with the $10,000 you're asking for. Fannie comes back, approves it. And what does the negotiator say? You can't change my approval.
Yeah. All right. So follow me. For those of you that now Trent actually for the first time in a rare time did a talking too fast bank talk. So I'm going to clarify for you. So here's the thing. What he just discussed was the term called escalation. Some of you may or may not be aware of it. I don't know how long you've followed us or know what we're talking about. Just because you get one answer in the bank doesn't mean it's the only answer.
Well, the bank said.
Well, the bank said. But Lee, the bank said, I'm here to tell you point blank. And one of the premises that Short Sale Genius is built on and you know, are close to 1,000 members, what they're basically built on, this one concept that I've taught from day one, which is I've lied. I know for a fact I've lied to agents. I know what I've told them because it gets me money. If I'm looking at a HUD, what would lead anybody to believe that I'm an expert on knowing how much I would pay for homeowners association, what I pay for escrow fees, depending where it is in the country? We only pay $50 for attorneys. We only pay $5 for this cost. I'll tell you the part that amuses me so much after all these years, Trent. Agents who tell me they've still gotten full commissions on a HUD, when in fact their HUD itself was completely
wrong
or restructured by the bank in other ways. Is it a winning battle to say you got a 6% commission even though I just ripped your HUD in half and you're going to have to use your commission now?
To pay for taxes.
To pay for taxes HOA. And HOAs and everything else?
You didn't really get your full commission then.
Well, in the mind of an agent, so that they can sleep better at night.
They got their full commission.
They got their full commission.
So that's something that I think that a lot of people lose focus of is when you're dealing with a bank and they tell you it's a guideline or this is a something they cannot change, you got to understand that that employee, of course, they cannot change that. But someone else in the bank can. So that's something we'll discuss in a future podcast in a couple of weeks here. We'll discuss negotiations and escalations. But for this purpose, we're discussing the HUD and how to structure the HUD appropriately. Okay. So when we submit two HUDs, one's going to the first, one's going to the second lender. Obviously, this is if there's two different banks and it's not being negotiated by the same person.
Are you sure? I don't want to wait until the first tells me it's okay.
You can wait a little while. I will give you this. You can wait a little bit before you send a file to the second lender. A lot of times the second lender is going to require a lot less information and they're going to take a lot less time to approve. But you're still going to want to start the file right out from the beginning, not wait until the first says, okay, here's your approval. We're giving $3,000 the second. Close in 30 days.
Okay, so let's do this by the numbers. I get the file. I get a good offer. And by the way, a real offer. I'm going to keep talking about this week after week. Real offers, real buyers, sellers who are really on board with what you're doing, the real deal. Enough of this just throwing spaghetti against the wall because you need to get paid kind of stuff. I mean, it's really starting to piss the banks off.
Well, you don't get paid unless the deal closes, do you?
Yeah, but again, desperation of the agents. Okay, I need to submit an offer to the bank to stop this, postpone the sale. Well, that might work once, that might work twice, but eventually...
Well, you can't submit a fake offer anyway because, I mean...
Oh, yes, agents would never do that to someone like me at the bank.
You shouldn't. I don't know if that's something that's taught by people, but you should always find an offer. You can get an offer from an investor pretty easy if you want to submit any offer, but I see where you're going with that. You do want to submit an offer that's going to be able to close, not just something that's
And they might want information about that buyer as well, okay? So don't be too shocked. Well, why would they want to know if the buyer's real? Because they've been getting a lot of buyers that aren't real. I mean, they might want to see a desktop approval. They might want to see proof of funds. You know, I call me crazy, but if I was a bank and somebody had three postponements and suddenly came up with a full price offer, I might want to see that it's a real buyer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that sound logical to everybody?
Well, let's go back to the HUD discussion
okay.
here.
So we're going to put a HUD together. We're going to prepare two of them, correct?
Yep.
One for the first, one for the second.
Yep.
On the first, we're positioning 10% of the second position or 20%?
I usually like to start with 20% and then okay. let them come down if we need to.
Okay. And the second HUD will be for 1,000 or 3,000?
Yeah, just not to offend them, we'll start with 3,000 and say that the first told me this is all you're going to get.
I know the truth. Trent really only does 1,000.
No, I don't.
And he calls it a home run when he gets it every time.
No, we do a three and
all right.
we don't usually get three.
You could say 50. You could offer him 1,500 and say you're stuck from a year ago when it was 1,500. All right.
So that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
That was about a year and a half ago. But neither here nor there. They're almost up to 6,000 now. They're really moving up. Thanks to Halfen, the $6,000 offer. All right. So we've submitted. We run it with the first and the second concurrently. Now, let's talk about escalation deal killers and going and getting decisions. When they say they're not going to pay that to the second, when they say they're not going to pay the HOAs, when they're going to nickel and dime, title escrow, closing cost attorneys, etc., where do we kill the deal? And I've been talking about this a lot lately, which is knowing when you have the power. Personally, from a strictly negotiations, not whether or not it's a good deal. If the bank is coming back and making any kind of counter of terms, in my opinion, you, the agent or the mitigator, are now the position in power on that HUD. The question is, are you willing to stand up for it?
And doing it in the way that they'll believe you're standing up for it.
That's correct.
If you try and bluff, but they know you're not bluffing, are you really bluffing?
No, not really. You're just guessing.
So let's finish off the thought there. What is it they were going to bluff about? What are we trying to convince the bank of?
Okay, it's about the net bottom line, right? And I think that's what we always get distracted with on the HUD. What is the net bottom line? Theoretically, I'm going to say this theoretically, because thanks to NAR and the DRE, it's not as accurate anymore. Theoretically, all the bank is approving is the net bottom line. Unfortunately, because of real estate interference and designation trainings, people now believe that the bank has the right to...
Aren't they a party to the transaction?
No.
Oh.
They're not a principal at all.
Wow.
In fact, we just had an argument in the office this morning about principals and transactions. They're not. Their job is to approve a net bottom line figure. If the net to the first is $232,000, then they are either approving or declining the $232,000. Not, I only pay $5,000 for HOA. I only pay $3,000 for the second.
I mean, they don't have the power to tell me how much commission I get paid?
Well, here's the funny part, Trent. No, they don't.
But they do it anyway.
But they do it anyway. And here's the funnier part.
If you comply.
Then the agent starts to negotiate those figures and those terms as though they were a principal in the transaction.
Well, they are a party to that contract with the seller, but they still need to negotiate with the seller as far as reducing commissions, et cetera, because that's a contract between the seller and the broker, not between the bank and the seller.
I realize that nobody's ever going to get sued over
commissions,
which is my personal favorite.
As far as the bank dictating commissions.
But theoretically, contractual law, yes, no. If you cut your commission without prior written consent or change of a commission structure, is a material change to a contract without the authorization of a seller.
You can do it, but they would be liable for that. Technically, the seller would be liable for the balance if it wasn't paid through escrow.
Theoretically. I mean, and again, we're just talking about contract changes.
Hypothetically, no one's going to ever go after the client and say, the bank cut my commission to 5%, so you owe me 1% still, or 2%, 3%, whatever your commission is.
But materialistically speaking, from a legal standpoint, you are not the principal. You can't arbitrarily decide to take less commission. I mean, you can because it's ethically the right thing to do and nobody's going to fire you or sue you for it. But
contractually,
it's a violation.
But it's kind of a moot point because who
is
going to file
that? It is. But again, we're back to who's really in RESPA violation and what the hell is going on. So call the bluff. Okay, we're very fortunate at Short Sale Genius. One, we have Trent's way too finite, detailed HUD slow motion video of breaking down and putting together multiple HUDs. But we also have the Short Sale Calculator, the very first tool that came into this office for you to work on files when you were in this very room.
Yeah. Well, Lee shared with me his short sale calculator that he used at IndyMac Bank. It's basically what they call the default evaluation.
Everything in asset management is called a default evaluation.
Okay.
What's our net bottom line?
So what will give us more money by taking
short sale versus foreclosure?
A mitigated loss through short sale, loan modification, or foreclosure. Right. Which one's going to save us the most and get us the highest net return? So with that number, I know, and I've also happened upon the calculations for Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and several other smaller banks, because their employees, to be perfectly honest, aren't really the brightest. So I've just got a couple of them that emailed me on their documentation. And so with this information, the calculations, we know short sale versus foreclosure, what's a better deal for the bank. So when we submit a file, we're not guessing and bluffing. We can actually bluff and knowingly call their bluff.
So next week we'll probably segue into escalation and conveying messages for people. I want to make it clear before we get to next week, because everybody's going to go, wow, this is all just some massive upsell to Short Sale Genius way of life. I would love that, but I know the truth that most agents need a podcast like this. They need quality information just to circumnavigate what they're doing right now. So you almost have to take it as a fundamental fact for right now and sort of defend it. I mean, the difference here is the difference between closing a file and getting full commission. I think you can close almost any file now if you're just confident. I truly believe that. I've seen that consistently.
I think it'd be confident. You have to have knowledge in order to have that confidence.
The question is, can you get the full commission? Can you get the deficiency waived? Can you get the HOA's fees, you know, paid? Can you get more money for the second without coming out of your commission? I mean, that's where the fine-tuning of the art of negotiation comes in.
That's where becoming a short sale genius comes into play.
What a good segue, Trent. You can visit theshortsalegenius.com. You can read up on blogs and stuff and get our latest information on we just did a piece on the white pages that just came out. That should be up shortly.
The white pages.
The white pages on the phase out of Freddie and Fannie. Wow.
Okay, there you go.
Talk about a live show.
You're going to clarify that for us. Good.
The phase out of Freddie and Fannie. It's important information, so you want to visit theshortsalegenius.com. Get up to date on what the federal government is doing with Freddie and Fannie. Read up on value. Read up on some of our other blogs. I've also got a posted blog on how to write up your hardship letters. That way I don't have to do a full podcast explaining how to do a hardship letter. And, of course, feel free to visit our page and ask us a question at
asktrentandlee.com.
go ahead and fill that out, send it to us, and we'll make sure to cover some of those questions for you in the future. My name's Lee Honisch, that's Trent Chapman, and we are theshortsalegenius.com.